almost the perfect drive time accompaniment. The Marriage of Figaro Overture there by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and possibly featured in Magical Mozart by Candlelight, an evening of Mozart masterpieces. Who could possibly be behind this? Well, perhaps the same genius who's looked after Over the Rainbow, the Eva Cassidy story, The Naked Truth, the Billie Holiday story, A Viennese Strauss Gala, Live in La Vida Loca, Complete Wives of Henry VIII, and A Slice of Saturday Night can only be the truly fantastic solo is Stephen Leatherland. How are you, Stephen?
After that, I'm absolutely on the floor. Thank you very much.
Well, you know...
But I'm nothing compared to the genius of Mozart himself, and such a shame that he didn't live to his full potential.
Well, I mean, we frequently hear that he was a rock and roll star of his generation, and obviously the stage play Amadeus gave a lot of people, and indeed the subsequent motion picture had a lot of people sort of thinking about, oh, was he kind of, is it Salieri who kind of did for him, and all the other sort of factors within that. But the music that's there, well, I was talking with a couple of the guests who are with us in the studio now, ace rock music photographer, I was going to say Stephen Elliott there for a moment. No, it's Nick Elliott. Exactly. And publicist and of course our very own Jessica Ward, but in terms of the thing, what sort of brought you to this particular production to bring it to obviously a whole range of activities in terms of Magical Mozart by Candlelight?
Well, I mean, obviously we were looking for a follow-on show to our Viennese Strauss Gala, which had been very, very successful and had dealt with obviously the Strauss repertoire, and in particular a lot of the operettas. And what I wanted to do was to create a show which not only highlighted the music, but also highlighted the songs from all the famous operas, Don Giovanni and Così fan tutti, etc. That was kind of the back of the fag packet idea. But then I went to Vienna and found out a lot more about Mozart and the fact that he'd written over 600 different works and in such an incredibly short time. And what I wanted to do was to bring... But he was a very frivolous character, really. You know, people kind of think of Mozart as being very, very highbrow, but he was very playful. And all of his work is full of lots of innuendo, because I think it's fair to say he was a pretty sexual character as well. And that was something I wanted to uncover within the show. And how we started is... To give away some of it, is that we start with the Requiem, which he almost finished, which you could literally say, you know, he gave his life for that piece. And some of the ghosts of his past, which we recreate in the show, before moving on to some of the other operas and the pieces within it. And we've got an amazing ensemble.
Well, I was just looking at some of the cast here. We've got the fabulous Lili, or Lili, just wanted to check the pronunciation there, in terms of a Chinese-born soprano now based in the UK. Is it Lili?
Lili, yes.
Lili, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
She has just been everywhere. I mean, she did a song with Christopher Lee, of all people, but she's also done stuff.
I'm just very impressed with the fact that she sang at Eurosport TV's Super Combat in December 2013, singing Nessun Dorma. Fantastic.
That's one of her big claims to fame, actually. Yeah.
Genius.
And she's performed all over the world in Abu Dhabi and Brazil and all these different places. And then we've got the Bulgarian opera singer, Diana Vasileva, who is the doyen of the Bulgarian Opera House. And we've got David Miller Pierce. We've got an incredible cast and some amazing musicians. Our lead violinist, Petya, whenever Nigel Kennedy goes on tour around Europe, she's his first violinist. And they're all in the Baroque costumes. And what we're trying to do is kind of create that little bit of Vienna of the time, in terms of the costumes and the candlelight. And I think I've been very, very pleased with the reaction we get. I mean, I didn't expect to get standing ovations for a show of this ilk, but it's really been getting great receptions and great reviews. And I'm very, very proud of it, I have to say.
We were just speaking to our Jersey correspondent, Anna Lewis, and I noticed the Jersey Evening Post probably summed up the whole thing with their phrase, a sublime evening, magical, it certainly was. Fantastic. Even the Newark Advertiser, amazing voices, and the Northern Echo, the show was very enjoyable throughout, even for those who are not fanatical about Mozart or the classical genre. I think the Northern Echo are a little bit sort of, they're a bit low on the thing there, but they are a Darlington-based paper, so you know, say no more. Let's open to the thing. Over to Jessica. Jessica, your thoughts on this? Does it appeal?
Yes, I am very interested in this. I was just saying to Kat that I feel rather ashamed. I haven't listened to classical music in quite a while.
No.
So, I know, Shakara. So, this definitely interests me because it's kind of part of my past. I used to listen to it with my grandma, so,
And part of most of us past, actually. I don't think any of us were actually alive when Mozart was here. Unless, of course, it was past lives, but still. Stephen, that must be exciting when you're getting a next generation of folks sort of coming through and still just loving the fantastic stuff.
That's the amazing thing, is that the age group that we're attracting, is very encouraging, from teenagers through to kind of very hip 20, 30-somethings. Right across the board, and they're loving it. Hopefully, also we're opening the door to people that are not familiar with classical music in general, but certainly the operas. We're hopefully presenting them in an exciting and relevant way, which brings them to life. Which is, what we always try to do. It's all about generating the audience for tomorrow for whatever genre that we're covering, be it either Cassidy or Billie Holiday or, in this instance, Mozart.
Nick, we spoke, as we said earlier, about how good music will never actually sort of fade away. It's always going to be with us. What are your thoughts on this particular piece? Having worked and obviously extensively within the rock music and worked with a number of legends such as Roger Daltrey and, it's easy to say the ones you haven't worked with, basically, the whole range of things. But what are your thoughts on this particular evening with Mozart?
It has quite a special place in my life, really, because my parents were, certainly my father, was very... a big fan of classical, and a lot of my very early years were spent listening to this stuff, Tchaikovsky, 1812, and Swan Lake, the main ones that kind of stand out for me. So it's all part of my makeup, Alex, without a shadow of a doubt.
And Kat?
Oh, I love classical music. Yeah, I used to playing an orchestra, so I'm quite familiar with some of the music there, and putting it together with Baroque costumes and bringing it to life in that kind of way sounds really magical to me. I mean, I'm up for it, definitely.
I think we're already getting our race. Looking at the satellite, do you have a website, Stephen, that people can go to actually keep appraised of where these things are happening?
Yeah, and people like to try before they buy. So if they go to worldonstage.net, look for Mozart on there and all the tour data there, and they can see little video excerpts as well, which will give them a flavour of what it is they're going to see. And he really was the kind of the pop and rock man of his age. You know, he was very gregarious, and he stepped outside of the box. I mean, Magic Flute was shunned really by a lot of his peers. And he went kind of got down and dirty to do the Magic Flute, and look, it's still 300 years later, people are still producing it. So I think that says a lot about him.
With beautiful settings, costumes and lighting, and of course candles. That health and safety issue there, possibly with candles, but I'm sure you've looked after that, Stephen, because
I have to say battery operated, but they do flicker.
Very smart.
Otherwise, we'd need about 5 firemen on stage.
Well, exactly. If you try to recreate the whole thing, I'd say don't do it with candles in the theatre. You could be heading for carnage. Don't know what's there. The European Baroque Ensemble and singers transport you back to the sumptuous past in the magical Mozart by candlelight. Isn't that a wonderful sort of packet? World on stage there, and of course, Wolfgang Amadeus in sort of full force there.
It looks great.
Looking through excited, are we? I mean, I can't believe actually today, as we speak, you are in Stockport. Who would have thought you'd have Mozart in Stockport? Sorry, Stockport, but it made me smile, Stephen. I thought Mozart in Stockport.
We are crusaders that are trying to take the word out everywhere.
Absolutely.
The Isle of Man to Solihull to Stockport.
Exactly. Shrewsbury, the Theatre 7, the Isle of Man, Gaiety Theatre, the Cannock, Prince of Wales Theatre. They're all on details. We've got the website there. Do check out worldonstage.net. It's been fabulous touching base with your good self. I feel actually as we kind of followed the tour of the Over the Rainbow, the Eva Cassidy story, we should probably do a similar sort of thing with respect to the magic of Mozart in all sorts of ways. But Stephen, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the show? Has it been okay for yourself?
It's been a great, great debut, and I'd like to repeat it at another juncture. I've got lots of other shows that are coming. Next thing on the horizon is Jurassic Adventures. I've got T-Rexes on their way to the UK.
So,
not real ones.
Dinosaurs on stage.
Oh, my goodness.
Dinosaurs on stage, yeah. Jurassic Adventures.
It just gets better, doesn't it?
It's astounding. Stephen Leatherland will return. That's fantastic stuff there. Also, hats off to your PA who realised that it was a live interview and couldn't really leave a message. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been the same magic, really. So, good stuff there. It's
and actually, she is a celebrity herself who was in... incognito, but I'll leave that for now.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that. As I thought I recognised the sort of dulcet tones there, but it was much better than the answer phone, which was the first thing we actually got. I thought, where are we going here? It's marvellous.
Okay.
Stevenson, great. Fabulous. We'll speak again. Mozart Forte to take us up to the news. What do you think?
Sounds perfect.
Splendid. Well done. The first official news team put together of January, effectively. So great stuff there. As ever, time to press this button now.
Thunderbirds, James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila River to the Midweek Drive?
Yay! Fantastic.
He's gone mad. Absolutely mad. He's gone off his... Hello?
Shane, as ever...
How do they not keep me in captivity? I'm threatened to break out all the time, but I just... Still haven't made it.
Oh, now, you know, we're still... You will be joining us in Lincoln on May the 6th this year. I know we're still selling
yes,
stuff,
indeed.
So that's great stuff there.
That'll be a hoot, yes.
Well, it will. But
still haven't been into the cathedral, so that's one thing I would love to climb up that hill. Is very
I think we can look at ways of working through that process. But
do so you?
Whilst the news was on and Jessica was in deep conversation with our ace photographer, Nick Elliott, Kat and myself, of course, ace publicist, were having a look at the photographs on Facebook, obviously, of our adventures at Doncaster Racecourse for DigiCon.
I'm curious if
Jessica, who's been travelling from the Isle of Man to Auschwitz to Krakow to all sorts of things, most New Zealand fine souls would do, you know, hadn't quite connected with the fact that you're actually there. By the way, we also need to send out a get Will shout soon to Emma Tinson.
I can't keep up with him, you know. He's going about 85 miles an hour. Anyway, to go back to the photos, they were really nice.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Exactly.
What do you think?
We've got
a nice camera there.
We've got a professional photographer with Nick Elliott here, so I'm just going to run him through some of the photographs. Now, there's a shot of Shane holding up his wonderful official certificate. Yes, he's certified as well.
Oh, yes.
The dark
I've got
side.
It here on the board somewhere.
It's very good indeed. And you can see there the certificate, the Dark Alliance proudly acknowledges your efforts and contributions to the Star Wars universe and bestows upon you the title of honour. Henceforth known, you shall be known as Shane Rimmer, AHM018.
What's AHM? Yeah. The other way around.
It was extraordinary. Presented, of course, on the 10th of January 2015. May the dark side serve you well.
Well, I hope so, because the weather isn't. I've never been so cold in my life as I was up at Doncaster. People were terrific, which was a good thing. They were the only warmth we found in the whole shebang, I mean.
It was blustery. Needless to say, Ed Wellman took the photograph of me looking most bemused there. But you see, again, another location. I mean, Jessica, obviously, you were missed on this location report. But never mind. Those are some of the things we get up to. And that's one where we actually have a glamour puss right in the middle there. Sheila Rimmer. Exactly. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Sheila in full force there. So that's the line from that perspective. Moving on to a few other sort of activities that were going on there. Sam Stone and some of the other sort of key folk.
Yeah.
I've jumped into the London Boat Show by mistake. I'll move to another sort of system, etc. But what are the views then, Nick, about some of the images we got here at the Doncaster DigiCon, many of whom will be appearing on the Midweek Drive as we actually head through the upcoming weeks? So what are your thoughts, Nick?
There's some lovely little shots there.
That's
a good gig.
Fairy tale princesses and, of course, Long Shot. What a perfect way to have Ed Wellman holding up Long Shot, available as an e-book and online at present.
Wonderful.
The only thing we didn't get to happen was a 100-yard dash.
Well, yeah, but I figured actually...
I thought you were going to...
You're interrupting Nick.
I'm terribly sorry. Sorry.
Listen to your wife. Go on. Pay attention, Steve. Pay attention.
Okay.
It's quite all right, Sheila. You know, we can sort of cross over. It's like it's Scott Tracy.
Alex is used to this. It's all right.
Another problem, another problem.
So overall, though, apart from the wind, which was quite blustery, and clearly I didn't manage to connect with you on the Sunday because I felt, one day was we had to go off and do a few other bits and pieces. How did the weekend go for your good self?
Very good. It was good,
excellent.
That's Sunday was much quieter, but... I think I was pleased to find out that the people who were signing for Star Wars didn't sell as many photographs as Shane.
Well, of course not. I mean, look, it's Star Wars versus Thunderbirds and James Bond.
Well, these unexplained things happen every one.
And even more excitement, Nick, Shane has actually been in an episode of The Persuaders.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Fantastic.
Hey.
Yeah,
didn't you write it?
That was The Protectors, Sheila.
I wrote The Protectors. What did she say?
Easily confused, but, a little hint, Sheila.
Every time I come on this program, I get confused. I don't know who's doing the main track. Anyway, go ahead.
If you wish to find out, obviously, more about Shane's fantastic career, then simply go and purchase a copy of From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls, now available in paperback or indeed as an audiobook.
Can I ask what the Thunderbird connection is?
Voice of Scott Tracy. Voice of Scott Tracy.
Really?
Yes.
That was teeth. Really?
You already primed him on that, Alex.
I'm sorry, Sheila. I thought he'd read the production notes.
God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
This is neglect of a high order.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Yes, without Shane vocalising the whole sequence, then certainly no Thunderbird Scott Tracy at all. Or indeed a whole heap of
Do the line. Please do the line. Do a line.
Make my day.
Fantastic. Wow. That's marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
You can forget actually working with Def Leppard or Twitter or Aerosmith in an elevator, clearly.
Oh, dear. Thunderbirds, such a major part of my life, really. Terrible.
50 years.
Really?
Since Thunderbirds were formatted.
Yeah, well, of mine too. I never had such an extraordinarily happy year in all my life. There's something about it. When something starts to go well, and when it's going around the world as it started to do and did, there's a lovely buoyancy around the whole place. It really was terrific.
And we can see, obviously, From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls online as well from that point of view. And it does have such a resonance. Now, Jessica, have you ever seen an episode of Thunderbirds?
I did when I was little, but...
Well, that's good. That's good. It made it to New Zealand, then.
Yes, it did. My dad was a big fan.
Good to hear. He was.
Wonderful.
Yes. Well, they got some good things going out on in Australia, aside from...
No, don't say the A word. No, please.
Not Australia.
New Zealand.
Shane, it was going so well until you set up that diplomatic incident. It's New Zealand all the way.
I set my P's and my Q's. Yes, I did a film there called, what was it called? The monster, the sea monster. Queenstown. Was it Queenstown right down at the bottom?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we stayed there. Very much like Canada, maybe a century ago. I only mean that. Everybody helps everybody. There's a great communal spirit, and the country is absolutely glorious. Loved it.
Mm. I tell you what, he loves the New Zealand wine.
Oh, yes, of course.
Australia doesn't even get a look in on that one.
As I'm afraid so, yeah.
Well, that makes perfect sense then. Fantastic. I'm just pulling up some Thunderbirds pictures because, of course, we're actually not too far away from the new TV series launching, but that's great stuff. But also even more exciting news, which actually, Sheila, you managed to release to me, that this year's AnderCon is going to be held not in London, but in Leicester.
That's right. I can give you the dates if you like.
I think we'd like to have those dates. We didn't manage to connect with Jamie at London or indeed your good self last year. So the dates, I believe they're in June?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and they are?
June 13th and 14th.
And 15th.
No, 13th and 14th, Saturday 13th. And Sunday, at a wonderful place called the Athena Cinema, which is a 1920s old, restored, beautiful retro cinema, and they use it for conventions and weddings, so obviously they're not the seat.
I'll get you a pass Alex, so you can get into the place. Is that all right?
Oh, he's famous. He gets in everywhere, doesn't he?
I was only kidding, you know. I know he gets in everywhere. McDonald's and all these places.
I have to say, though, you provided the ultimate source of joy at DigiCon, because you looked after
any little helps.
You looked after not only my coat, but you also looked after Spike, the official Midweek Drive mascot, which Jessica's had the privilege of actually holding.
Spike, that's
always important. I'm just ShaneRimmer.com, as you can see. There we are, Shane in The Spy Who Loved Me, a whole range of other things, but Shane as his alter ego there, the yet-to-be-born Scott Tracy.
Terrific.
Mm. Obviously it's
in the 24th. You know we're going to Scarborough. Wonderful. Are we going to see you up there, or is
anywhere too far on the planet, Sheila, if it's a chance to speak with your good self and Shane? I mean, that's the key thing. That's honest. Even the Norwegian fjords shouldn't have been enough. But no, you're quite right. Sci-Fi Scarborough, we haven't spoken about this as yet, but it's the 14th to the 15th of March at the Spa in Scarborough, North Yorkshire. Jessica, do you think you'd be around for that, to actually join us on a location sort of trip to Scarborough?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, really nice. Lovely.
Yeah, so I think
you'll never forget it.
Now, I should tell you another little nugget.
Oh!
I love telling you things you may not know. That Sanderson,
yes,
which is the fan club,
mm-hmm,
they're doing their convention in October.
Ooh!
And they're doing it at in Maidenhead, in the Holiday Inn.
Genius.
So that's October, yeah, September. Yeah. 2nd to the 4th.
I mean, it is, Sheila, very much, and I know Ed, it was his, I think he'd been to Sci-Fi London with me, and I haven't experienced too many of these events and conventions, but there's so much fun there, and in
they
all
are,
sorts of
yeah.
ways. There's a general sort of fun from that perspective. I mean,
yeah.
We spoke with Jessica, I think, back in October, November. I know you were looking forward to meeting Carrie Elwes, amongst others, from the Prince's Bride
at
one of the events. Sadly, we didn't manage to get that to manifest it, so your day will come. You get a chance to meet Shane. It's always good. He's Prince Charming.
I've just found the big sheet that I printed off that was under Shane's papers that says Shane Wednesday Alex with exclamation marks.
Hmm. There we are, you see. It's not as though we just sort of get a random rehearsal and sort of book these shows as, let's just phone somebody up at random.
You know? Yeah.
Who knows? We might have even spoken to Flynn. Because we have to ask the question, given that we've already spoken on the show about St. Bernard dogs and poodles attempting to mate with you, something which I'm glad Flynn probably wouldn't do, how is Flynn the terrier?
Flynn is wonderful.
Excellent.
Very happy.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah,
he almost attacked a bus and... What are those dogs? Those big dogs? Ruby?
The various
boxer.
Sort of boxer. Oh, right. Yeah, so feisty. A feisty sir.
And he could have eaten them.
You know. Steady Shane.
Anyway, it all got resolved.
It's important.
Did I send you the email photo of Flynn?
As a Christmas card? Yes,
yeah.
Sheila. It's wonderful. Sort it out. We'll have that online. It is. It's enough. You should actually put a photograph of Flynn on the ShaneRimmer.com website as well, actually.
You reckon?
I think so. Well, it opens up a whole new market, you know,
yes,
the canine
yes.
market.
All the dogs in the world.
Yeah, never underestimate the canine market. I know Gerry Anderson didn't have many canines in his outfits and his shows, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a market.
It mounts up, doesn't it?
Yeah, but his wife, Mary, breeds, I think, great big dogs.
Yeah. Lurchers.
Lurcher, a cross between a greyhound and some other beast. I've never quite sussed out as yet, but still.
You're a walking encyclopedia, aren't you?
Well, you have a way with words, Sheila, and that's just one way we get to use to describe the whole thing. Nick, any questions you want to put to Shane or Sheila, of course, who started her career as one of the fantastic singers in the Three Martinis.
Dancers.
Oh, is it dancers?
Singers.
Oh, I thought. Oh, well.
Have you ever heard her sing? You would never say that.
That doesn't ring any bells with me.
Never mind. That's okay. But
no,
she's done a whole heap of other goodies. In fact, we once put together Shane and Michelle Monroe and Sheila. Fine show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, we could reminisce so much as we approach 5 minutes past 6 o'clock here at Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's award-winning community radio station. But time needs to move on. We need to plug Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's the 14th to the 15th of March 2015 at the Spa in Scarborough, North Yorkshire. You can go to sci-fi-scarborough.co.uk. We'll look to do a follow-up with respect to that as well. Next week on the show, Shane, we might even be speaking. Folk who were at DigiCon.
Yes.
And also, coming up soon, the young lady and author who was sitting next next to you in the actual signing page. That was Sam Stone, exactly.
Yeah.
Sam will be in the studio in 2 weeks from now.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And she's also provided some wonderful music for my daughter, who's actually a quite a key musician, who which will also be featuring. So great news there. And so Sam Stone.
He writes some weird books.
Weird.
Nicely weird books.
Yeah, exactly.
Not nasty weird books.
No, they are very good. Much like Longshot, available, of course, by Shane Rimmer and available to purchase on Amazon for a snippet. It's fantastic.
I love this.
An e-book. It's Longshot. It's,
have you read it, by the way?
And I'll be quoting from it when we do the next phone link, because it's got golf, it's got spy industry, it's got golf. It's like a thriller set on a golf course and beyond. What's not to love?
Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
I think it's got the words desperately keen to be a major motion picture very, very soon. I think if Spielberg's got his team out there, he'll be optioning it as soon as.
Well, I'd quite like a publisher to publish it rather than having it in electronic form.
Can you expedite that? I'll do my best, Sheila. You know,
thank
I mean,
you.
We'll, it's important from that sort of perspective. Kat, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
Yeah, I've got one quick question, actually. Shane, you seem to be very accomplished as an actor there. You've obviously got James Bond in your portfolio of work, as well as the...
Three Bond movies.
Three Bond movies.
Diamonds
wow.
Are Forever, You Only Live Twice,
we
Spy Who
not
Loved
worthy.
Me.
Yeah. We're just not worthy. My question, Shane, is going to be, has there been a highlight to this illustrious career that you've had?
So let's see, that goes from Doctor Strangelove with Stanley Kubrick through to Superman 3.
I think Kubrick and the Bond, the last Bond, the Spy Who Loved Me.
Right.
They were both beautiful people to work, all beautiful people to work with. They considered an actor more than just about any other director or producer I could think of, and they produced very good stuff, so I was happy.
I would say that every time he got a job in a film, that was a highlight.
Oh, that was a highlight, yes.
Yeah, well, that's why we're looking at it, isn't it?
We're looking at Michael Winner, Irving Kershner, Norman Jewison, Lewis Gilbert, Kevin Conner, Piers Haggard, Warren Beatty, Richard Attenborough, Dick Lester, Tony Scott, Charlton Heston. You know, a few names there you may have heard
just
of, Tony. I'll get the names sorted through that. Nick, Tony Scott, you see. It's easily confused.
Yeah.
So and that's before we even go to the sort of the television side. Yeah. I mean, you know, television credits story, you know, from Come Fly With Me in 1958. My word, that was a classic in its own way.
You should say that softly because you should have a little bit of reverence for that because I've been around here for so long.
And look
ridiculous.
At that, The Persuaders, 1972, where you were Lomax in Element of Risk. So.
Oh, yes.
Coronation Street.
Who could forget Coronation Street?
Well, now you're talking.
Exactly, and Doctor Who. You know, just generally, sort of an all-round sort of soul from that point of view. So, and that's, you know, 77. Oh Lord, there's so many sort of areas we could actually go to on that side of things. Super. Oh, Shane and Sheila, it's been so wonderful. Even though Emma Tinson quite likes the two questions we kind of substituted, came from a fine writer called Bill Coles, William Coles, which is, have you ever been chased by a wild animal?
Yes, we have.
Which one?
Years ago when we were in...
Your father. No.
When we were in Turkey. And we got
wild dog.
Yeah. Oh. We had some substance somebody got us to puff.
Oh dear.
And
we didn't do that. Don't say that.
Not on broadcast there. Please.
And Shane was convinced that wild dogs were chasing us.
Yeah. And there you have it. Shane and Sheila Rimmer.
That's what it was. Racky.
Yeah, that's
don't
true.
Go near it, ever.
No, do not touch
inside
Racky.
Or outside of Turkey.
Clearly,
don't do it.
Clearly, it's not going to happen. And the other question, who knows, it might replace Have You Had a Reasonably Interesting Telephonic Chat and Now They're Coming Back Again. Have you ever tasted sour milk?
Yes, isn't it repulsive?
We get it every Thursday here in the house.
There you have it. And we can actually say, in terms of the connectivity, as you're based in Potter's Bar, lo and behold, one of our other features that we had earlier in the production, Stephen Netherland's magical Evening of Mozart production, is actually featured at the Willyotts Theatre, or the Wiley Yotts Theatre.
Yeah, the Willyotts.
The Willyotts Theatre Centre, Potter's Bar on February the 1st.
Oh. Yeah. Very nice.
Mention that, and who knows what sort of delightful.
It's a lovely little theatre. And they have some very good stuff there. There's a very strong touring kind of a bunch that go around, and they keep these theatres open all the time.
He's talking about performers, bunch of people touring around, like himself.
Well, it happens. I well remember Shane's performance at the Newcastle Theatre Royal, which was splendid.
Not a bunch of people.
I'm having trouble at this end, Alex. So you have to take over.
I think interference is breaking into the whole thing. What the hey? I take it you've both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, and you'll be back with us before we know when you will return. Is that right?
Very well.
Make sure you send us an email.
A round of applause for Shane and Sheila Remack.
Exactly.
And to you.
I will bring you flowers in the morning, wild roses as the sun begins to shine, sweet perfume in tiny jeweled caskets. If I thought you'd ever change your mind, I would take you where the music's sweetest, feed you winter fruits and summer wine.